Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema reportedly met with President Biden yesterday to talk about the $3.5 trillion infrastructure package a bipartisan coalition in the Senate is working to get approved. The measure would include money for roads, bridges, and broadband, but also issues like climate change. U.S. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg was in Phoenix earlier this month to talk about infrastructure needs here, and he joins me. And Secretary Buttigieg, when you look at the Phoenix metro area, what to you are the biggest needs for this region?
Well, what you see in Maricopa County is an extraordinary amount of growth. I mean, just comparing it to when I briefly worked there in 2004 to when I was there a couple of weeks ago, the downtown has really transformed. And with that come tons of job opportunities for the whole region, but also a lot of needs. It's one of the reasons why I applaud the visionary work that's gone on to establish good transit in an area that wasn't really known for transit, as recently as a decade ago. We've got to support that. There's also obviously a lot of drivers and people who commute by car. We got to work on safety there. And we also had a consultation with leaders from Indian country. There's a lot of work to do to support tribal nations in the work that they're doing, even on delivering just the basics when it comes to quality of roads, but also things like broadband internet access that still across Arizona is a real challenge. There are about 45% of Arizonans who live in areas where there's only one internet provider and another 14 who live in areas where there's none at all that has acceptable speeds. Whether we're talking about digital infrastructure that's very 21st century, or whether we're talking about the basics like roads and bridges, we see the need in Arizona and in every part of the country, which is why we're so full of urgency to get this bill done.
Let me ask you about the transit issue. You referenced Phoenix not necessarily known for transit in the past. And, one of the things that officials here are wondering is, with ridership down during the pandemic, will ridership go back up? I mean, is that a legitimate question, do you think, for transit? Maybe not just here in the Valley, but elsewhere as well.
Well, I think the value of transit and the need for transit hasn't changed, but commuting patterns will. And the truth is, we're not going to know for a while exactly how this will shake out. So the best thing that we can do right now is to create flexible visions that make sense, even with some uncertainty in the future, but also to invest in transit that we know that people are going to count on no matter what. One of the things we saw during the pandemic was a lot of essential workers who don't have options to work from home, who everybody depends on, and they in turn depend on transit to get them where we're going. So of course, there will be lots of, developments, lots of changes perhaps in the way Americans get around, but we're going to continue to see tremendous value for transit, especially in rapidly growing and dense areas. And I would add, this is even more important in the context of climate change.
Along those lines, some mayors and others in this area have been really pushing recently for passenger rail service between Phoenix and Tucson. Is that something that you see in the cards?
Well, I'll tell you this. We are on the cusp of making what would be the biggest investment in passenger rail in this country since Amtrak was created in the first place. That's part of the bipartisan infrastructure framework that's being discussed right now in Washington. And we need it, partly to repair what we've got, but also to expand service in areas that haven't had it in the past. It's exciting to see the vision and the energy that exists in the Phoenix area for that kind of connectivity, especially when you think about what it would mean to have a fast, efficient, safe link between Phoenix and let's say West Texas, Las Vegas, New Mexico, or any other number of places. I see the need as well as the excitement. I remember myself getting as far as Flagstaff by train once, but would love to have been able to come to Phoenix too. And these are the kinds of things that Amtrak would be better positioned to deliver if they had the funding they really need.
You mentioned broadband, and that seems to have been an issue, especially in rural parts of not just Arizona, but elsewhere, that have been on the table for so long. And obviously, it's not the kind of thing that you flip a switch and you have broadband. It takes a little bit of time to get everything put together and get everything up and running. Do you think that this bill would really make a significant dent in the number of Arizonans, the number of Americans who have access to high-speed internet?
Absolutely. And to us, this is absolutely part of infrastructure. Look, you need a road connection in order to do well in the economy. You also need an internet connection. You can't have one and not the other and expect to thrive at a time when anything from doing your job to doing your homework may well depend on having fast, affordable internet. You're right, it's not something that you can deliver overnight. But what we have in this framework is a vision to get every single American connected. And in many cases, that means laying new fiber. Some very remote areas, there might actually be different technologies, wireless technologies, that come into play. But I want to mention it's not just about funding to deploy new assets. It's also about policy. You know, we got to make sure that there is healthy competition and that people have good options. Otherwise, even where the physical capability exists, you know, if it's not affordable, it doesn't do you any good. It's why we're emphasizing both speed and affordability in getting broadband out to everybody.
There's also been a lot of talk in the Phoenix area about water infrastructure, and obviously water is such a big deal here and throughout the West and the Southwest. What kinds of projects might the federal government be looking at in terms of pipes and dams and other kinds of water infrastructure needs that are so vital here?
Well, I would point to a couple of things. One is the direct investment in water infrastructure. It would be the biggest we've ever done, $55 billion in clean water infrastructure, which would allow us to eliminate and replace 100% of the lead water pipes and service lines that a lot of families now wonder if they can even get clean, safe drinking water for their kids. Now, there's another issue, which has to do with the availability of water, and we need to be investing in resiliency. That's why there's over $50 billion in this framework to support communities dealing with or preventing droughts, fires, and floods. You know, when I was a mayor, I was involved in the Mayor's Water Council, and there were a lot of Midwestern mayors like me dealing with floods. There were a lot of Western mayors from places like Arizona dealing with a lack of water. And these issues are only going to get more intense as we see climate change accelerate, which brings me to the last point. In addition to the water-specific investments that we got to make, we just got to use this opportunity to head off the worst effects of climate change. The biggest sector in our economy contributing greenhouse gases is transportation, which means transportation should be the biggest part of the solution, and it will be if we make sure that on everything from electric vehicles to supporting transit, we make the right choices today before it's too late.
All right, we'll have to leave it there. That is Pete Buttigieg, the U.S. Secretary of Transportation. Secretary Buttigieg, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Great being with you.